إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 17th lecture or 17th session dealing with al-iman or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the book Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-i'tiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Najiyah al-Mansura Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah. The question that we want to deal with tonight is question number 71. Very, very important subject matter that inshaAllah, with the help of Allah, by the permission of Allah, and the tawfiq from Allah, every one of us can benefit from. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Before dealing with the question that we have as our topic for tonight, we'd like to go back and review quickly the questions from last week, which were a continuation of question number 70, a continuation from the previous week. And there were three questions that we had. We'd like to look at them quickly and then go on to the topic for tonight. The first question was mention three ayat which contain a general declaration of Allah being far removed and free from what is attributed to Him by the mushrikun. One ayat. Somebody. Now, Musa. Naam, Surah Al-Saffat 159. Subhanallah amma yasifun. Naam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declaring Himself to be far removed, high above and far removed from what the mushrikun describe Him with, of falsehood that's unbecoming of Him. Another ayat. Another ayat. Another ayat. Naam. Fadl. Fadl. Surah Al-Hashr. Naam. Wallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-malik. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. And in these series of ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a number of His asma al-husna. And in the second of the three ayats of this series from Surah Al-Hashr, Allah mentions this statement, the declaration of Him, of Himself being high above and far removed from the shirk of the mushrikun. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Naam. And there's one other ayat that we mentioned from Surah Al-Isra. One other ayat. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yakuluna uluwan kabira. And the declaration that Allah is free from and high above what the mushrikun, what the pagans are saying, what they say about Him. These ayats are general ayats that are in line with what the Shaykh was saying, yani in the topic of the declaration of Allah being free from all imperfections, and acknowledging and admitting and confessing to the absolute perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His sifat, in His asma, in His sifat, in His actions, in His ahkam, and so on. Second question. Discuss briefly three explanations of the statement of Allah, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, from Surah Ar-Rum, 30th Surah, 27th Ayah, and also in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah. 60th ayat. Remember any of the explanations of this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We mentioned at least three of them. Now, Imam Shawkani mentioned three explanations, and some of those explanations are also mentioned in Tafsir ibn Kathir, and some of them mentioned in Tafsir ibn Sa'di and others. Now, one of them. Now, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. What does it mean? لا إله إلا هو. Now, this is one of the sayings. Now, that the meaning of it is لا إله إلا الله. Naam, that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah. This is one of the meanings. Naam. Another meaning. Well, by the way, we quoted these statements from some of the books of Tafsir, but the person who it is ascribed to is other than the author of the book of Tafsir. And if this statement that لَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى means لا إله إلا الله, this is the saying of Qatada. And it is also the saying of Mujahid and other scholars from the Salaf. Naam. Another saying, different explanation. Any other explanation? Any some of the Naam?
That anything of good that is described to the human being, Allah is more described, has more right to it.
And this is Al-Qiyas Al-Awla. That means that it is a type of comparison where the scholars of the Sunnah said that anything which, any characteristic of perfection that is ascribed to the creatures, Allah has more right to be described with it, but in a way that no one shares in it. To the degree of perfection that no one else shares in it. But as far as the interpretation of the meaning of this statement, we said that the scholars gave at least three explanations. Another explanation was, Naam, Abu Bakr. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. Naam. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. This was the statement of Ali Ibn Abi Talha, that he narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And the first explanation that Imam Shawkani mentioned, what is the meaning of لَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى? يعني المثل here, the meaning of it is المثل, it means السفر. لَهُ الْوَصْفُ الْأَعْلَى. To him belong the highest description. Like in the saying of Allah, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ means sifat al-jannah, the description of the jannah that is promised to the people of taqwa. These are three explanations that the scholars have given, and there's other speech surrounding this particular topic, but these are the general meanings that have been given by most of the scholars of tafsir. The last question is mentioned three ayat which negate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any of the following characteristics of defect, yani as-sifat as-salbiyah, the sifat that are negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: slumber, sleep, death, tiredness, having a child or a parent, an associate, helper, supporter, equal, intercessor, any of these, any characteristics that are negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Ayatul Kursi. Naam. Ayatul Kursi. And what does it contain in terms of the negation of these type of sifat from Allah? What does it contain? For example, it negates what? Huh? Slumber? Sleep? Tiredness? Ayatul Kursi mentions forgetfulness? No. Slumber, sleep, tiredness, and it also mentions the negation of من ذا الذي يشفع عنده, and it negates that there is anyone who can intercede with him without his permission. Naam. Another ayah. Naam. Dhul-Kareem. Surat Al-Ikhlas. Surat Al-Ikhlas. And what is negated in Surat Al-Ikhlas? He does not beget, he doesn't have any children, nor is he begotten, nor does he have parents. He wasn't born. Naam. That's two things. And there's a third negation. And there's nothing like him. Naam. أَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. One other ayat. One other ayat. One other ayat. These two, Surah Al-Ikhlas and Ayat Al-Kursi, are of the most important ayat that you can find in the Quran. Most important ayat. Most important surah for Tawheed. And we know these ayat, and now we need to reflect upon them and concentrate, contemplate on the meanings of what these surahs are offering to us, so that we can think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that these things are negated from Him. Now, one other ayat. Somebody give me one other ayat. One other thing that's negated by an ayat in the Quran. What about مَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّ. Allah is not what? Forgetful. He doesn't forget. Naam. Naam. What else? Surah al-Jinn. Naam. What's in Surah al-Jinn? اتخذ صاحبة ولا ولده. That Allah has not taken a wife nor a son. Naam. ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون. Allah is not what? He's not unmindful. He's not unmindful of what the wrongdoers and so on. In any case, we mentioned a number of ayat that are proofs of these characteristics of imperfection being negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are some of the points that we discussed last week from amongst the 14 sifat of perfection that the Shaykh mentioned, and within them or related to them 30 things that are negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these ayats were dealing with this particular topic. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as I said, the topic is a very important topic. It's question number 71. And the Shaykh Hafiz Hakami, rahimahullah, he says, مَا مَانَ قَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَةِ مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And the hadith as reported by Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Yani, what is the meaning of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the beautiful names of Allah? Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Yani, whoever ahsaha, whoever enumerates them, will enter the Jannah, has entered the Jannah. Indeed, this is a topic of the utmost importance, especially when you consider that the reward for the one who does this action is Jannah. And this is what we have been talking about from the beginning of this class. From the first day we started this class, we were talking about what? Knowing, learning, understanding, reflecting upon, and living in accordance with the meanings of the names of Allah and His sifat. And living by them, knowing Allah's names in order to worship Him properly. And this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is of the highest order of authenticity, reported, agreed upon by both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, is a hadith that makes us to know if a person studies the names of Allah, learns the names of Allah, understands their meanings, worships Allah by them, calls on Him by them, praises Him by them, lives in accordance with the meanings, what they require of one, that that person will enter the Jannah. That person will be entitled to enter the Jannah. And we should say here, that it doesn't mean that this is the price that you pay and therefore you have an absolute right to it. Rather, it is a cause or means to earn the favor of Allah and His reward through which you will enter the Jannah. Not by your deeds alone. Because when the Prophet ﷺ said to the people, no one will ever enter the Jannah by their deeds alone, the Sahaba, they said to him, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَنْتَ, not even you. Yani, as far as us, okay, no problem. And some people imagine that they will enter the Jannah by their deeds alone. But the Prophet ﷺ said, absolutely no one will enter the Jannah by their deeds alone. And they said to him, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا إِيَتَغَمَّدْنِيَ اللَّهِ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ. Except that Allah covers me, surrounds me with His mercy and His favor. Naam. So the person who does this deed or such deeds through which a person will enter Jannah means that it is a means, a sabab, a means through which a person will earn the favor of Allah and His reward and His mercy. And by that way they will enter the Jannah, by the mercy of Allah and His favor. Not that they have paid the price and therefore they are entitled to it. And this we should know. But these are the means though, to earn Allah's favor and His reward and His mercy, so that a person will enter the Jannah. So the Shaykh, he says, what is the meaning of the saying of the Prophet ﷺ concerning the names of Allah, His beautiful names? In that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, in some of the narrations, he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ 99 إِسْمًا. And in some narrations he said, مِئَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That indeed Allah has 99 names. And in some narrations he said, 100 minus 1. Which? 99 names, which? In reference to those 99, whoever أحصاها enumerates them, they will enter the Jannah. So the Shaykh, his question is, what does it mean, من أحصاها? What is this إحصاء? What does it actually mean? What does it actually mean, من أحصاها? Does it mean that you memorize them? خلاص, you're in Jannah? Some people have good memories. They can easily memorize 99 names. Some of us may have memorized 99 names of Allah. Certainly we are all capable of doing it. And if we have not done it, then we ought to get busy. If you memorize one name of Allah a day, by Ramadan or by the end of Ramadan, you should have finished 99 or 100 or more or so. Would anybody like to do it? Don't raise your hand. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. It is at least the beginning of the path to know Allah's names, to memorize them, to understand their meaning, and the rest of what is required according to the meaning of Al-Ihsa. What does it mean? The Shaykh Hafiz Hakami, he mentions three meanings from the scholars of the past that he transmits. One of them is from Al-Alama Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, and another one is from Al-Battal, one of the people who is quoted often in the explanation of Sahih Al-Bukhari, one of the scholars of Hadith of the past. And another one has been narrated from many different scholars with slightly different wordings. The Shaykh, he gives three interpretations, and inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will go through each one of them. And in addition to them, we'll add one more from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. The Shaykh says, قَدْ فَسَّرَ ذَلِكَ بِمَعَانِي. يعني the meaning of مَنْ أَحْصَاهَ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever enumerates those names will enter the Jannah. And by the way, Imam Bukhari said in some of the narrations of the hadith, it said, مَنْ حَافِظَهَا. مَنْ حَافِظَهَا. And this, he said, is an explanation. One of these words or these expressions explaining one another. So from amongst the meaning of إِحْصَى is حَفْظ. That's one of the meanings. So the Shaykh, he begins with this. قَدْ فَسَّرَ ذَلِكَ بِمَعَانِي. This has been explained with different meanings. With meanings, more than one. Minha, the first of those interpretations, is very short and brief. He said, حفظها ودعاء الله بها والثناء عليه بجميعها. One of the interpretations of what is إحصاء, what is the meaning of من أحصاء دخل الجنة? It means حفظها, memorizing those names. ودعاء الله بها, and supplicating Allah by those names. Supplicating to Allah by those names. وَالثَّنَاءُ عَلَيْهِ بِجَمِيعِهَا. And praising Allah by all of these names. By all of them. All 99 of them. Praising Allah by them. Supplicating Allah by them. Memorizing them first. This is one interpretation that is a common explanation of this expression, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Memorization of those names, supplicating Allah by those names and praising Him by all of them. Second explanation from Ibn Battal, rahimahullah. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّمَا كَانَ يُصَوِّغُ الْإِقْتِضَاعَ بِهِ كَالرَّحِيمُ وَالْكَرِيمُ فَيُمَرِّنُ الْعَبْدُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَصِحَّ لَهُ الْإِتِّصَافُ بِهَا فِي مَا يَلِيكُ بِهِ. Second explanation the Shaykh gives here, it is actually a classification or categorization of the names of Allah into four different groups. And each of them, whichever group the name falls under, the person should take a position or stand or act towards it in a certain way. So the first group, he said, those names which it is proper or right or fitting that a person imitate them. Yani that they take those names and characterize themselves by them. Like the name Ar-Rahim, the Merciful. Or the name Al-Kareem, the generous or bountiful. And the person who takes these names from this group, such names as Al-Kareem, Ar-Rahim, and other such names, the person should train themselves, or accustom themselves, or condition themselves to act in accordance with the meaning of these names, such that it would be fitting, it would be right, it would be proper, it would be correct that the person be described with this description. Yani, it wouldn't be false if somebody said this person is generous, this person is merciful, this person is kind, because they have actually acted in this way, such that that description is applicable to them. That a person should accustom themselves, train themselves to act in such a way that it would be correct, it would be proper that some, that they be described with this description. That is included in these names. فِيمَا يَلِيكُ يَعْنِي بِهِ يعني in the way that is suitable or appropriate for the human being. Not in the way that this description belongs to Allah, but in the way that is suitable for the human being. In the way that is human, that these qualities can be applied to a human being. So this is the first group, those names that it is proper and right and permissible that a person take on these characteristics and live by them in a way that they will be described by them. The second of them, مَا كَانَ يَخْتَصُّ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ تَعَالَى يعني that which Allah has made exclusively for Himself. يعني those names that Allah has made exclusively for Himself, that nobody else has the right to use. Such as Al-Jabbar, Al-Azim, Al-Mutakabbir. Yani the one Al-Jabbar, the powerful one who is the compeller, who can compel and force everyone and everything to do his will. Al-Azim, the great, the mighty, the supreme. Al-Mutakabbir, the one who has the right, who is entitled to be proud, who has the right to be proud because of his greatness and his glory and his magnificence. Naam. These are names that Allah has made exclusively for Himself. That the human being does not have a right to attempt to be described by them. And in reference to these names, the Shaykh said what? فَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ الْإِقْرَارُ بِهَا وَالْخُضُوعُ لَهَا وَعَدَمَ التَّحَلِّ بِصِفَةٍ مِّنْهَا يعني that the person should what? Acknowledge and accept that these names belong to Allah. وَالْخُضُوعُ and submit and surrender with humility to the reality of these names that they belong to Allah. And not to adorn themselves with even one characteristic from these characteristics. Not to adorn themselves. Not to attempt to imitate these descriptions that belong exclusively to Allah alone. So the names that come under this category, he mentioned, for example, Al-Jabbar, Al-Azim, Al-Mutakabbir, and there are many other names that could fit under this category. And the third category, he says, وَمَا كَانَ فِيهِ مَعْنَى الْوَعَدِ يعني those names that contain within it the meaning of Al-Wa'ad, the promise. يعني within that name, we understand the meaning of, that this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as Al-Ghafoor, Al-Shakoor, Al-Afu, Al-Rauf, Al-Halim, Al-Jawad, Al-Kareem. Yani the one who is all-forgiving, the one who is appreciative, the one who pardons, the one who is kind and compassionate, the one who is gentle and forbearing, the one who gives plentifully, the one who is generous. That names such as this contain the meaning of Al-Wa'ad, yani that a person understands that Allah promised that he would be forgiven, that he would be merciful, that he would appreciate the good that we do, that he would be yani forbearing with us, and so on, that he would be gentle with us. The names that come under this category, and there are many, that contain the meaning of Al-Wa'ad, فَلْيَقِفْ مِنْهُ عِنْدَ التَّمْعَى وَالرَّغْبَى Then the stand that a person should take towards these names is that they should be desirous of these meanings, and they should hope for that, the meaning that is contained in the promise of Allah within these names. Yani a person should hope for Allah's forgiveness and His mercy and His kindness and His generosity. A person should hope for this. When you know that this is the name of Allah, that Allah is Ash-Shakur, then you expect that the littlest thing you do, Allah appreciates it. If you do it for His sake alone. You expect that. You expect that if you make a mistake or error, commit a sin, and you turn back to Allah, asking His forgiveness and repenting to Him, you expect that He will accept your repentance, that He will forgive you, that He will pardon you. Because He is Al-Afu, He is Ghafoor, He is Ghaffar, He is Al-Tawwab. These are the names of Allah that a person should hope for and expect and look for and desire the fulfillment of this promise. And finally he says, مَا كَانَ فِيهِ مَعْنَى الْوَعِيدِ Yani those names that contain within them the meaning of al-wa'id, the threat of Allah's punishment. Contain within them the meaning of al-wa'id, ka'azizin dhintiqam, shadeedul iqab, sariyul hisab. That Allah is the one who is mighty, who has the right to take retribution from those who deserve to be punished. That Allah is shadeedul iqab, He is severe in punishment. He is sariyul hisab, He is swift in taking account. These names contain the meaning of a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is severe in punishing, and that He takes account quickly. فَلْيَقِفْ مِنْهُ عِنْدَ الْخَشْيَةِ وَالرَّحْبَةِ So the person should take a position or a stand in reference to names of this sort, and that is that they should have fear and be in awe of the threat of Allah, who is well able to fulfill His threat if He wills. And we know that from the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a promise of reward for those who believe and do good deeds, it must be fulfilled. He will never fail His promise. While when Allah makes a threat of punishment for those who disobey Him and do that which is displeasing to Him, then He may punish them, justly so, or He might forgive them. He might forgive them. He may pardon them. And this is our aqeedah. So when we came across those names of threat, the person should be in fear and in awe of the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the second explanation, that the names of Allah are in categories and we should look at them accordingly. Those names that are suitable for the human being to be described with, then we should try to take on those descriptions by acting in accordance with the meaning of those names in a way that's suitable for the human being. And those names that are exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, meanings that are not suitable, that are not proper, that are not befitting, that the human being doesn't have a right to, then our position towards them should be that we acknowledge them, we confess to them, and we surrender in humility to those names and those meanings that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. As far as those names that contain the meaning of the promise of Allah, then we should hope for and be desirous of and seek out that promise of Allah that is contained in those names. And those names that contain the meaning of the threat of Allah, we should fear them and be in awe of them. The third interpretation that the Shaykh gives, وَمِنْهَا, and this is the interpretation or this is the explanation of Al-Alama ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, وَمِنْهَا شُهُودُ الْعَبْدِ إِيَّاهَا وَإِعْطَاؤُهَا حَقَّهَا مَعْرِفَةً وَعُبُودِيَّةً That is, the shuhud of the abd, yani that the servant, the slave, the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, witnesses, acknowledges, is conscious and aware of witnessing these names, that they belong to Allah, and what are their meanings? وَإِعْطَاؤُهَا حَقَّهَا And give to those names their right. Their right in two ways. مَعْرِفَةً وَعُبُودِيَّةً Yani the right of knowing them, of seeking out their meanings. Seeking to understand their meanings. And then to worship Allah accordingly. That it is obligatory for us to know the meaning of these names. It's not sufficient for us to say that Allah has beautiful names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا And the Shaykh talks about this, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen talks about it in detail. He has stated categorically that all of the beautiful names belong to Him. So call on Him by them. So it is incumbent upon us to bear witness to these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their meanings, these realities that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know their meanings, to give them their right, ma'rifatan, knowing their meanings, and ubudiyatan, and worshipping Allah according to them. And this also has an explanation. Al-Alama ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, For example, what does he mean by this? يعني شهود العبد إياها Witnessing to these names, acknowledging them, understanding them, reflecting upon them, focusing upon them. What does it mean? He said, مثاله من شهد علو الله تعالى على خلقه يعني the one who witnesses the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above His creation. وفوقيته And Him being above عليهم فوقيته عليهم being above them واستواءه على عرشه and that he has ascended above his arsh بائنا من خلقه completely separate and distinct from his creation Allah is completely separate and distinct from His creation. Allah is Al-Khaliq, and everything besides Him is makhluq. Completely separate and distinct from His creation. He is not a part of it. He is not inside of it. Rather, He is above it. Ba'inan. Ba'inan. Separate and distinct min khalqihi, from His creation. Ma'ihatatihi bihim ilman wa qudratan wa ghayra dhalika. Yani witnessing the ulu of Allah and His fawqiyah and His istiwa above His arsh and His being separate and distinct from His creation, and at the same time encompassing completely the whole of His creation. Ilman wa qudratan wa ghayra dhalik. By His knowledge, by His power, and other than that. Allah has knowledge of the whole of His creation, and He has power over the whole of His creation, and He can do with it as He wills at any time. The person who witnesses this ulu of Allah, and witness this hatha, Allah's encompassing His creation completely by His knowledge and His power, and otherwise. And based on this, وَتَعَبَّدَ بِمُقْتَضَى هَذِهِ السِّفَةِ. Then the person worships Allah in accordance with what is required by this characteristic of Allah. Worships Allah in accordance with this meaning, this understanding that one has witnessed. Worships Allah in accordance with this. بِحَيْثُ such that يَسِيرُ لِقَلْبِهِ صَمَدٌ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ مُنَاجِيًا لَهُ مُطْرِقًا وَاقِفًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وُقُوفَ الْعَبْدِ الذَّلِيلِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ الْمَلِكِ الْعَزِيزِ. And then worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance with that which is required or necessitated by this characteristic of al-ulu in this case. And this is applicable to all of the names of Allah and all of the sifat of Allah. Worshipping Allah in accordance with that which is required by this particular sifa, such that the person's heart has a samad, yani the one that one's heart turns to fulfill all of one's needs. The object of one's desires, hopes, fear, a samad that the heart turns towards and seeks its the fulfillment of every need. Munajiyan lahu, yani calling out to Allah, speaking to Allah in confidential, secret conversation. Mutriqan, yani bowing one's head. Waqifan bayna yadayhi, standing in front of Him, head bowed, in secret, intimate conversation with your Lord. Wuquf al-abd al-dhalil, yani the standing of the slave that is humbled. بَيْنَ يَدَيَ الْمَلِكَ الْعَزِيزِ, in front of the King that is mighty. This is how the heart of the believer approaches its Rabb. فَيَشْعُرُ بِأَنَّ كَلِمَهُ وَعَمِلَهُ صَاعِدًا إِلَيْهِ مَعْرُودٌ عَلَيْهِ. So he feels, with this consciousness, he feels like his speech and his actions are rising up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are in open display. Let's try to close that. And are being displayed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly. Yani the person feels like their speech and their action is going up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and displayed before Him. فَيَسْتَحِي, and therefore he feels shy. أن يسعد إليه من كلمه ما يخزيه ويفضحه هنالك. So in this light, the person will feel shy that his speech would rise up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or something from his speech would rise up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that would disgrace him, that would shame him, that would uncover his faults and weakness and sin and disobedience and that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of the shuhud of the abd, the shuhud, the witnessing of the slave of these names and giving them their rights, knowing them and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance with them. And the shaykh goes on to give another example. He said, وَيَشْهَدُ نُزُولَ الْأَمْرِ ومراسم الإلهية إلى أقطار العوالم كل وقت بأنواع التدبير والتصرف. That he witnesses the descending of the command of Allah, the divine commands of Allah, to every region of the worlds of the universe, at every time, with every type of tadbir and tasarruf, yani everything that indicates that Allah is the one who manages, arranges, controls, and has full free disposal of every affair. Witnessing this, disposing of things such as al-imata wal-ihya, yani he is the one who decides death and life. وَالْإِعْزَازِ وَالْإِذْلَالِ He is the one who honors or humiliates. وَالْخَفْضِ وَالْرَفْعِ The one who brings down or raises up. وَالْعَطَاءِ وَالْمَنْعِ The one who gives or withholds. وَكَشْفِ الْبَلَاءِ وَإِرْسَالِهِ And he is the one who removes the trials or tribulations or calamities, removes them from the person or sends them upon him. وَمُدَاوَلَةِ الْأَيَّامِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ And the alternation of the days between the people. Yani the fortunes of the people. The good and the evil. The victory and defeat. Allah is the one who controls all of it. إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ التَّصَرُّفَاتِ فِي الْمَمْلَكَةِ الَّتِي لَا يَتَصَرَّفُ فِيهَا سِوَاهُ Yani all of this and other than this. From tasarrufat, yani the actions, the disposal of affairs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His kingdom, in which no one has any right of disposal of any affair other than Him. فَمْرَاسِمُهُ نَافِذَةٌ فِيهَا كَمَا يَشَاء So all of His ahkam, His rulings, His judgments are executed in His kingdom just as He wills. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Sajda, 32nd Surah, 5th Ayah, يُدَبِّرُ الْعَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ That He is the one who يُدَبِّرُ الْعَمْرَ He is the one who controls, arranges, manages, regulates the affair from the heaven to the earth. ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ Then it will return back to Him in a day in which يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ The day which, on يوم القيامة, a day which will be equal to 1,000 years from what the way that we count the time today. He is the one who controls every affair. فَمَنْ وَفَّى وَأَعْطَى هَذَا الْمَشْهَدَ حَقَّهُ مَعْرِفَةً وَعُبُودِيَةً فَقَدْ اِسْتَغْنَى بِرَبِّهِ وَكَفَاهُ So whoever وَفَّى وَأَعْطَى Whoever fulfills this mashhad, yani this scene, or this sight, or this reality, yani whoever fulfills what they have witnessed concerning this matter and such matters, giving it its full right, both مَعْرِفَةً وَعُبُودِيَةً, knowing it well, and then worshipping Allah in accordance with it, فَقَدْ اِسْتَغْنَى بِرَبِّهِ وَكَفَاهُ Then this person will be sufficed. They will be free of need. They will be sufficed by their Rabb. And He will fulfill their needs. Now, the person who fulfills the right of this mashhad, this scene, this event, this reality, whoever knows it and reflects upon it, focuses upon it, contemplates it, understands it well, and then acts in accordance with what it requires of them, then this person who knows it well, and then worships Allah in accordance with it, they will be free of need. They will be freed of need by their Rabb, and He will suffice them. And then the Shaykh says, in closing the answer to this question, وَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ شَهِدَ عِلْمَهُ الْمُحِيطِ وَسَمْعَهُ وَبَصَرَهُ وَحَيَاتَهُ وَقَيُّمِيَّتَهُ وَغَيْرَهَا And likewise, in the same way, whoever witnesses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all-encompassing knowledge, or His hearing, or His sight, or His life, or His self-sufficiency, and other than that. Yani the same would be for them. The person who gives it is full right, knowing it well, reflecting upon it, contemplating, concentrating, focusing, understanding, and then acting in accordance with that, that person will be freed of need by his Rabb, and he will be sufficed. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, mentioned some details concerning each of these points, and the Shaykh only mentioned this, but in the original statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, he went into a lot of detail, and this is sufficient with what the Shaykh has left. And finally he says, that is Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he says, وَلَا يُرْزَقْ هَذَا الْمَشْهَدْ إِلَّا السَّابِقُونَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And no one will be given as rizq, yani will be given this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this, yani the witnessing of this event, or this scene, or this reality, except as-sabiquna al-muqarrabun, yani those who are foremost in believing in Allah and doing good deeds, and those who are nearest to Allah because of their worship of Him and their obedience to Him. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said. And we want to also benefit from the explanation of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in which he said in Kitab Al-Tawheed, a number of issues, and he related to the names and sifat of Allah, and he said, As-Sabi'u, the seventh issue, Ihsa Asma'illahi Ma'anahu, yani the ihsa of the names of Allah, its meaning is as follows. And the Shaykh mentions three things. One, al-ihatatu biha lafzan wa ma'anan. Yani encompassing those names. Al-ihata, completely encompassing those names. Lafzan wa ma'anan. The words themselves, the names of Allah, and the meaning of them, not just the names, as those people who think that they can just memorize the words and that is sufficient. Rather, he said, encompassing those names, finding them, searching them, identifying them, learning them, memorizing them, and their meanings. Number two, dua Allah biha, supplicating Allah by them. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Due to the command of Allah the Most High, that Allah has the most beautiful names, therefore make dua, supplicate to Him by those names. وَذَلِكَ بِأَنْ تَجَعَلَهَا وَسِيلَةً لَكَ عِنْدَ الدُّعَى. And how do you make dua with these names? That is, you make them or place them as a wasila, a means for you at the time of dua, a means of nearness to Allah. That you use those names in your dua. And actually the dua of Allah, as the Shaykh goes on to say later, it has two meanings. The dua of Allah, yani dua al-mas'ala, yani using Allah's names to ask for what you want, and dua al-ibadah, yani the dua that is by worshipping Allah, by performing acts of worship that are means of dua. The Shaykh, he says, so it is using these names as a means at the time of dua. فَتَقُولُ يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So you say, يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. You call on Allah by His name, الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ وَمَا أَشْبَى ذَلِكَ. Yani how do you make dua? You make dua by using His names. You have to know His names in order to call on Him by them, and using the names that are appropriate for the occasion. Number three, the Shaykh says, after encompassing those names, their expressions, the words, as well as their meanings, and making dua to Allah by those names. Third thing he said, وَتَتَعَبَّدَ لِلَّهِ بِمُقْتَضَاهَا. That you worship Allah by what is required or necessitated by those names. And one of the meanings of this, worshipping Allah by what is required and necessitated by His name, the Shaykh said, فَإِذَا عَلَمْتَ أَنُّهُ رَحِيمٌ. If you know that Allah is Rahim, تَتَعَرَّدُ لِرَحْمَتِهِ. Then you open yourself up for His mercy. You seek His mercy. You don't just imagine it's going to come to you, but you have to do something to entitle yourself to His mercy. If you know that His name is Ar-Rahim, then you seek out. You do what you can do to earn His mercy. This is worshipping Him by His names, what is required by His names. وَإِذَا عَلَمْتَ أَنُّهُ غَفُورٌ تَتَعَرَّدُ لِمَغْفِرَتِهِ. So if you know that He is Ghafoor, then open yourself up, seeking, yani looking for, exposing yourself to His forgiveness. And if you know that He is As-Sami', then you protect yourself from speaking, from the speech that would anger Him. And if you know that He is Basir, then you avoid the action which is not pleasing to Him. And the Shaykh, he says, and the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, then call on Him by them. الدُّعَى هُوَ السُّؤَال. يعني dua, it means asking. And the dua قَدْ يَكُونْ بِلِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ. يعني it is perhaps that this dua is by lisan al-maqal. يعني it is by the tongue of speech. يعني actual words that you say. That is a dua. Like saying, Allahumma ghfirli. Ya ghafoor. Allahumma ghfirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh, the one who is forgiving. Wa hakadha. And likewise. Aw bi lisan al-hal. Or the dua, it might not be by lisan al-maqal, by the tongue of speech, words, but rather it might be by lisan al-hal, yani the speech that comes from your condition. The condition that you are standing in front of Allah with. Yani that you are prostrating to Him, that you are making dua, that you are giving sadaqah, or you are making salat, or you are making hajj, or you are doing some act of ibadah. And that ibadah is a speech in itself. The condition of the human being in a condition of worshipping Allah is also speech. And that is lisan al-hal. That is by worshipping Him. And for this reason, the scholars, the ulama, they said, إِنَّ الدُّعَى دُعَى مَسْأَلَةً وَالدُّعَى عِبَادَةً. The dua is of two types. The dua of asking by your tongue and the dua of asking by worship. لِأَنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْأَمْرَ أَنَّ الْمُتَعَبِّدْ يَرْجُو بِلِسَانِ حَالِهِ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَيَخَافُ وَإِقَابَ. And that is because the reality of the matter is that the one who is the worshipper of Allah, when he is worshipping Allah, he is hoping بِلِسَانِ حَالِهِ, by the tongue of his condition, by his worship, he is hoping and asking for the mercy of Allah and fearing His punishment. Naam. والأمر بالدعاء الله والأمر بدعاء الله بها يتضمن والأمر بمعرفتها. And the Shaykh says, and he had some speech concerning this, but we're going to skip some of it. But he said, the command to make dua to Allah by these names includes within it the command to know them. Yani when Allah ordered us to make dua to Him, it is understood from that by necessity that you have to know those names before you can supplicate to Him by them. So the command of Allah to make dua to Him by His names is also the command for you to know them. You must know His names. It's obligatory to know the names of Allah. If you didn't know them, you must learn them. If you didn't know their meanings, you must know their meanings. Because this is part of what Allah is requiring of us, to worship Him by knowing His names and knowing their meanings, and then to call on Him and to worship Him by the meanings that are entailed within them. And the Shaykh is saying that, Naam, that the command to make dua to Allah by His names is also the command to know them. Because, لِأَنَّهُ لَا يُمْكِنْ دُعَى اللَّهِ بِهَا إِلَّا بَعْدَ مَعْرِفَتِهَا. It's not possible for you to supplicate to Allah by these names except after you know them. And some people denied, as the Shaykh said in some lengthy discussion, denied the importance of learning the names of Allah and His sifat. That this is not necessary today. And he rebuked these people and scolded them with deserving words. After this, the Shaykh says, and this is what perhaps we will close with, the Shaykh, he says, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ دُعَاءَ اللَّهِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ لَهُ مَعْنَيَانِ. And this is what we alluded to earlier, that the Shaykh, he says that the meaning of ihsa, yani the meaning of ihsa, the names of Allah, and enumerating them, it means to encompass all of them, the words and their meanings, and to supplicate to Allah by them, and to worship Allah by them. Yani the dua of Allah, the Shaykh, he says that the dua of Allah by His names has two meanings. The first of them is dua al-ibadah. And the second of them is dua al-mas'ala. And the second of them is what is well known to us. That is, making dua by Allah, making dua to Allah by His names, asking for what we are in need of. And the meaning of this, he said, it is that you precede before your question as a means of seeking nearness to Allah, you mention His names. You mention His names. مُتَوَسِّلًا بِهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يعني as a wasila. As a wasila, a means of nearness to Allah. For example, you say, يَا حَيِّ يَا قَيُّومِ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي Oh, the one who has perfect life, and the one who is self-sustaining, who everyone is in need of, forgive me and have mercy upon me. قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith of reported in Bukhari and Muslim, and it's from the supplications that are mentioned, يعني the dua قبل التسليم, يعني after the tashahud and before a person makes taslim. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and if I remember correctly, this hadith is a hadith that's reported by Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه. And there are not many hadith reported by Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه. And this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه to supplicate with this supplication. Who was he talking to? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the best of this ummah, after his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, wa la yaghfiru dhuluba illa anta, faghfir li maghfiratan min indik, warhamni, innaka antal ghafurur rahim. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira. Oh Allah, I have wronged myself in a great way. Dhulman kathira. Wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. And there is no one who forgives sins except you. Faghfir li maghfiratan min indik. So forgive me with a forgiveness that is from your presence. Innaka antal ghafur rahim. Indeed, you are the one who is al ghafur. The forgiving, Ar-Rahim, the merciful. So if the person makes dua, and they qualify their dua in such a way, and he asking for Allah's forgiveness and His mercy, by His name, the one who is Al-Ghafur Rahim. If a person does this, فَقَدْ أَثْنَى عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ بِهَذَا الْإِسْمِ طَالِبًا أَن يَكُونَ سَبَبًا لِلْإِجَابَةِ That whoever does so, then they have praised their Lord with this name in seeking that it be a means, a sabab for their dua to be answered. وَالتَّوَصُّلْ بِصِفَةِ الْمَدْعُوِّ الْمَحْبُوبَةِ لَهُ سَبَبٌ لِلْإِجَابَةِ And indeed, a tawassul, seeking nearness to Allah, by one of the characteristics that is beloved to the one that you are calling upon. This is indeed a sabab, a reason or a cause for the dua to be answered. فَالثَّنَاءُ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ مِنْ أَسْبَابَ الْإِجَابَةِ Indeed, praising Allah by His names are from the means or the causes of dua being answered. And we'll stop here. If there are any questions, we can take them. But before questions, we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts and give us the tawfiq and the initiative and the desire and the motivation to learn His names and to learn their meanings. And to call on Him by them in the appropriate way, believing in them, understanding what they mean, and then acting in accordance with them. We ask Allah's success in this, that He grant us this success. It is indeed by the mercy of Allah and His favor if a person is given such success. That you call upon Allah by His names. But first we have to learn them. We have to identify them. And we have to understand their meanings. And then we have to reflect, contemplate and ponder over them so that those meanings become a part of us, that they reach the depth of our heart, and then that we act in accordance with them by the help of Allah and by His mercy and His favor. So we ask Allah that we take this seriously And that if you didn't memorize any of the names of Allah from today, start memorizing them, even if you memorize one a day. And you can start with one of the books of the scholars of Sunnah. And by the way, I intended to mention a discussion concerning this hadith, because in some of the narrations, as it is in the narration of At-Tirmidhi, this hadith that Allah has 99 names, which whoever memorizes them will enter the Jannah, this hadith has been narrated in some narrations with a list of 99 names of Allah. And the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions that Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and many scholars before and since then have conclusively proven that those narrations which identify the 99 names of Allah with that hadith are not authentic. None of them are authentic. Although some of the names within them may be names of Allah, and some of them are not. So a person should go to the sources of legitimacy, to the authentic sources from the people of Sunnah. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi has a book, and I don't remember the name of it, The Beautiful Names of Allah, or something like that is his name. And we gave some copies out a couple of weeks ago to some of the students. And the book is only a few dollars. A person, if you don't have that book, you should get it. This is the ijtihad of a major scholar of this contemporary time. That was his ijtihad in his collection of names. And his student, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, has also made an ijtihad. A major scholar of contemporary times who made an ijtihad in his book. And the book Al-Qawaid al-Muthla, yani the exemplary principles of Asma of Allah, the beautiful names of Allah and His Sifat. And he has also given a list of names, and we should go to those names and we should start memorizing them. And we should reflect upon their meanings, we should read what are the meaning of these names and try to focus on them until we are able to grasp their meanings and hold tight to them and try to live in accordance with them. If you didn't begin memorizing, I ask you in the name of Allah to begin memorizing the names of Allah for your own sake. For your own sake. Because whoever learns them, memorize them, understand their meaning, call upon Allah by them, and worship Allah by them, will enter the Jannah by the mercy of Allah and His favor. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.